The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
A new day has dawned. Welcome in. Let's get right to it here on a Tuesday afternoon. And there's a lot to talk about today, including who some of the top quarterbacks are going to be and what is happening in the ACC, the league that we all thought was so copacetic. How about this? KJ Jefferson ranked among the top SEC quarterbacks in a new ranking. Remember, it was just yesterday we had another writer with a different opinion of Jaden Daniels, but this one has KJ at the top ahead of Daniels in the second tier, a couple of other quarterbacks, but Caleb Williams and Drake May at the very top, and then Jordan Travis from FSU. Bo Nix, didn't he once play in the SEC? He did. Cam Rising, this is according to David Hale, who has who's going to talk about another subject as well. What's happening down there at Amelia Island? You get the ACC ADs together, coaches. It should be quiet, should be cool, sipping margaritas by the beach, listening to some old Buffett. That's not exactly what happened yesterday. As we say hello to David Hale, who has covered the ACC for a long time. But David, I don't want to jump to any conclusions. But I will. What in the world is going on with your beloved Atlantic Coast Conference? Good afternoon.
They replaced the Jimmy Buffett with like Rage Against the Machine or something like that. Yeah, passions have been riled up. Yeah, I think bluntly nothing has happened. But what you see, this is sort of a carryover effect. This is the first time they've all met in person, by the way, since Michael Alford, the FSU AD, made some very blunt comments to his board of trustees a few months back about sort of the elephant in the room, which is we are going to be making a whole lot less money than people in the SEC or the Big Ten. And that is not a sustainable model for us if we want to play at a championship level of football, which FSU, Clemson, and others at least aspire to. So the revenue situation, I think the ACC has a huge sort of issue that not all other leagues face, and that they are a very sort of divergent philosophical league. You have big schools and small schools, private and public, big alumni bases and small ones, and ones that are super focused on academics and ones in which athletics is a prime portion of what they do. And so it has been very difficult to get 14 ADs and 14 presidents on the same page about even small issues, but let alone big ones like revenue. And I think a lot of what's happened is a few of the bigger school ADs, Michael Alford included, have done what they've had to do to kind of push this conversation forward, maybe against some of the intentions or better wishes of some of the smaller schools. And look, the biggest problem that they run into is that there is not a panacea here. There is not some kumbaya option that's going to make everybody happy. It is when you don't have the TV contract that the SEC has, it is trying to make the best of a bad scenario. It is figuring out what the best of some bad choices are, and that's where they're at. And so I have been told that tempers have flared up, that there has been some yelling and shouting and a few profanities maybe, but I think overall, I just spoke with Michael Alford actually just a few minutes before I came on with you, and he said he thought this was the most open and transparent conversations that they have had since he's been a part of these discussions. So, some of it is kind of, I think it has to get a little bit worse before it gets better. From the folks that I have talked to, there is not a grand plan to escape the league, to burn the league down, to dissolve the league, to form a new league, to do any of these things that have been sort of rumored. Every school that I have talked to has had lawyers look at the grant of rights to at least measure what their options are or to get ascertain what the other school's options might be, to build some safety net for themselves. But I don't think anybody is looking at, pressing the escape hatch right now. It is a matter of forcing some conversations that maybe some of the schools in the league were not very interested in having.
David, you sat here with me a couple weeks ago going through what you just alluded to about the difficulty of getting out, but it still seems to be on some people's minds. Has anything changed since we last talked about how the mountain of difficulty that anyone would have short of taking over Goldman Sachs in terms of buying their way out?
Yeah, and I mean, part of the situation, look, let's be blunt here, Paul. Everything comes down to money. There's a price for everything. I think we all know that. But in theory, this isn't even really a money conversation, because what the grant of rights does is it doesn't take any money from you. To exit the league would require a payment of 3x annual revenue, which would be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $120 to $150 million to leave the league. That's a problem in and of itself. It has nothing to do with the grant of rights. The grant of rights prevents a team from broadcasting its home games on television. And so you can imagine what the repercussions of that would be, that A, you would lose a ton of money by not having that, and B, what other league, I don't care how good you are, Clemson, Florida State, whatever, what other league wants a team in their league that you can't put them on television? So it is, again, is there a dollar figure that would get you out of that? Is there a legal argument that would get you out of that? Both of those things are very much up in the air right now. But as we saw with Texas and Oklahoma and them trying to get out of their grant of rights with the Big 12 to go to the SEC, that was held up for a couple of years. The final year to get out of that was close to $100 million or more. And that was just 1 year that we're talking about. We're talking about 13 years left on the grant of rights with the ACC, which makes it pretty much a non-starter unless you are willing to roll the dice, go to court, and hope for the best.
David, there were some reports about shouting matches, ADs having to stand between one another. I mean, I don't know what to believe anymore in any form or fashion, but you're close to these people. Do you have any idea what was going on there yesterday?
No, I think that was a lot of Twitter talk that did not have a whole lot of reality behind it. Now, I do think within the meetings that they were having, there were definitely some raised voices. There were definitely a few people that were not happy. But again, as Michael Alford said, I think that was necessary. I don't think it is a thing where anybody was about to come to blows. I think some of the conversations on Twitter were definitely see what we can make stir up on Twitter. I don't think there was any truth to anyone having to break up any fights or anything like that. But yeah, tempers have definitely been raised. And I think everybody is sort of, as you and I have talked about this before, there is, it is a matter of life and death to some extent for some of these conversations. And it's not small things. They're not arguing about whether or not we should have divisions or what the tiebreaker should be. They're talking about the very survival of teams and leagues. And so, yeah, there's definitely some passionate arguments on both sides.
Well, I'm really sorry I cleared that up. It was a much better story until I got you on.
David,
the one thing I was curious about, though, and again, this could be just overheated reporting after the fact, but it said that a number of ADs walked out and either didn't choose to speak or were encouraged not to. Do you have any idea which one of those, if any, are true?
Jim Phillips is very media savvy and very media involved. He very much wants to control the message, whether or not that is doable. I think it was strongly suggested not to stop and chat. And so you didn't have any ADs after the meetings that formally stopped and talked. But I mean, even just as I walked out here, they're breaking up for a brief break between meetings, and a handful of them are sitting down and chatting with reporters right now. I don't think there was an edict that says do this or get fined, but I think it was just sort of we're in such a tenuous spot with where these conversations are right now. Let's not blow it up overnight with a media report that X, Y, or Z is happening.
Jim Phillips has not been there that long. How is he trying to, or is he able to contain the anger? Because he inherited a mess, did he not?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think this has been one of the things that has been reiterated to me over and over again, is this is not a Jim Phillips problem that he created. And frankly, I don't know that there was any path out of this short of, him getting some bribery material for Jack Swarbrick to force Notre Dame into the league. That was the only answer he had. But I think what you see, and one of the things that he has done really, really well since taking over is relationship building. So I sort of joked about what a small thing this was in comparison, but the league had spent almost a decade arguing about divisions, with all the teams that were not in the Clemson and FSU division wanting to stay that way, and all the teams that were sharing a division with them wanting out, and nothing came of it until last year. And that was largely the work of Jim Phillips building relationships. He is on campuses all the time. He goes to virtually every big event for every school within the league. He is very invested in the relationships. And so I think if there's anybody poised to handle the role of mediator on this, I think he has the ear and the respect of all 14 of the ADs that are in there, all 14 presidents of the universities. Does that mean he can broker a peace that is lasting and workable? Again, I think they're in a very tough position. To say they're playing to an inside straight may not even be the truth. It's sort of like a chess game where, like, all you've got is your king and a couple of pawns, and you're just moving around trying to stay alive.
With David Hale covering the ACC meetings, let me quickly move over to the other story we did want to talk to you about. It doesn't seem as important now after the WWE meets the ACC, but I would like to ask you about your quarterback rankings. You've got two on the top tier, a number in the next, and you know, KJ Jefferson and Jaden Daniels. Of course, this is the SEC Network, David, so we are going to get our hackles up when we don't see an SEC quarterback ranked any higher. I mean, I don't know what you guys do over there on the ACC Network, but we take that personally here. Can you explain your rankings?
Yeah, there were several ADs here that were fighting over where I ranked their quarterbacks, actually, is what I'm hearing. Part of this is the SEC is in a position where its top two schools in Georgia and Alabama are replacing quarterbacks. And so there's a little bit of the unknown. And in the tier, I put both of those in the same tier that are sort of just a notch below the very good quarterbacks in the league. And it's just because of the unknown. We don't know exactly what's going to happen in Georgia. I think we have a good idea. And certainly we've seen enough of Georgia winning to expect that that'll be the next quarterback will be just as good. Alabama, I don't know if you feel super confident that they have a guy, but as I explained in the numbers there, there's been seven off seasons that Saban has had sort of an open quarterback competition without an incumbent, and four of those have ended in a national championship. And so you don't have the history would suggest this will all work itself out, and the end of the year rankings would look a lot different than right now. But, you got this. Caleb Williams is a known commodity. Stetson Bennett was a known commodity. We don't know with Carson Beck. You know, Drake May is a known commodity. What we knew about Bryce Young, he was. We don't know now. And the one thing that I talked to a number of coaches in reporting out that piece is that a lot of them pointed to Clemson and said, like, you look at these teams, and you think it's always going to be good. It's going to keep being good. You'll just replace the last great guy with the next great guy, and then all of a sudden one of them doesn't work out, and suddenly the house card starts to look a little different. So that's kind of why I had it the way that I did.
David, we'll let you get back to refereeing. We appreciate you dropping on board here. Give Commissioner Phillips our best. We hope to see him in calmer times. Thank you. David Hale reporting from Amelia Island, where the ACC is either in chaos or everything is just great. We'll figure it out when we come back. Your phone calls are around the corner.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
So this was happening yesterday, Georgia moving into number one with the big quarterback commitment. Who is not in that list? Ari Wasserman on. Where is Bama? They were number one last year. Mason Choate talking about the Hogs. Let's get to some phone calls here, and we begin with John in Louisville. Hey, John.
Good afternoon. I'm at the airport. But, Paul, thanks for the buzzkill. I was all hyped up after reading Brett McMurphy about the ACC breaking up. Were you surprised?
Shocked.
Anyways, Brent had the two Virginia schools and University of Miami going to Big Ten, and then the others. But what I also read, maybe Oregon and Washington have been vetted, and they're ready to roll into the Big Ten. I'm sure there's negotiations about how much of a share of the revenue they'll get, but it sounds like those two schools are going to be joining rather quickly. Have you heard that?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, this ACC story comes up a couple times a year, John, and it's really not worth the old cliche used to be the paper it was printed on. Now it's not worth the air that we're speaking because nothing is going to change. It doesn't matter. I mean, you heard Hale a minute ago. He's researched it. All these schools talk a big game, including FSU, but there is simply nowhere to go. I mean, they're stuck. Nobody can spend $1 billion to get out of a television contract if you're a university.
I think they're trying to also leverage against ESPN to maybe give a little,
but John, I don't mean to speak for the company, but ESPN is not a charitable organization, and they made the deal. They made a deal with the ACC because they wanted a deal, and you know what it's about. And I'll go ahead and spit it out. There's no secret here. The ACC wanted to be just like the SEC and the Big Ten. They wanted their own conference network. And 5 years ago, they got it, even though initially most people had been told it wouldn't happen. And I'm not being disrespectful to the ACC network. I'm sure it's a great network, although I've never seen it. And have you seen it?
It's on after 1 a.m.
No, it's on it's on all day long. But there's a reason why some networks work and some we are still trying to figure out.
Well, I do like David Hale. He writes the best article after on Sunday after the Saturday college games, and he brought everything to light.
No, he's great. He's fantastic. We'll catch your plane. We don't want to keep you. Matt is up next in San Antonio.
Hey, brother, how you doing, Mr. Paul? I want to have Bone for this annoying AC. I want every shut up, man. He thinks he's one of the best callers in the entire world. AC, you're doing a rally show for you. You suck. You're not a good caller. You're worthless and you're a loser. You're never going to be a better caller like me. Never going to be a better caller like Legend or Iron Man. Just shut up. There's a reason why you didn't ever push up.
Anthony is up next. Good afternoon, Anthony. How are you?
Good. Thank you. I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm trying to solve an argument here. Tennessee fan, of course. Alabama fan, I'm trying to solve a problem with.
What is it?
The Bama fan is stating that the last 15 years, Alabama's strength of schedule has been a top five schedule every year. I don't think it has been. Pretty sure it hasn't. Can you give me information on that? Or
well, I really can't. I mean, I cannot do that.
Guys,
it's hard to – strength of schedules are misleading because if you're looking at the complete – what are you looking at? Are you looking at the regular season? Are you looking at the entire schedule? Because if you're looking at the entire schedule, which is, I think, how they do it, then Alabama's schedule would be the most difficult. And why is that? Because they have been in the playoffs every year but two, which means they play an SEC championship game against a respected opponent, and then they have two games against two of the top four teams in the country, which would trump Tennessee, because Tennessee, many of those years, wasn't even in a bowl game.
I understand.
But
the real
answer to your question is it doesn't matter. It's a superfluous argument. But you're going to have to tell me what you really want there, because strength of schedules are based on the entire schedule. Now going into a season, it's a little different. You're looking at a strength of schedule based on the schools on your schedule. Thanks for the call. Thank you very much. Dale is up next in Colorado. Hello, Dale.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
Good afternoon.
Yeah, so I have like 10 seconds to respond to Larry's call yesterday on the recruiting issue that I think I called and asked you about.
Right.
Okay, so, first of all, Larry, you need to call in earlier and not when you're 10 beers into a 12-pack because nobody can understand you, Boomhauer. Second of all, Alabama can have all the Georgia's leftovers from the portal they want. And, Larry, you're giving all Southerners a bad name. You need to stop it. Thank you, Paul. Go Dawgs.
Gary is up next in Kentucky. Gary, good afternoon. Gary, you there?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Well, you're on the air.
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I was concerned about Montana found. Have you heard anything?
I have not heard an update since the other day when we asked a question to some of the people covering the tournament, and we never really got a clear answer. I haven't heard anything to the contrary, but we'll continue to try to get an answer to that. We're up against a break. We are back with much more. Your phone calls around the corner.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Top five matchup on Thursday, two of the best teams in the country. You'll see Arkansas at Vanderbilt. Now let's get back to the calls, and Bob is up next in Georgia. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Paul, it's great. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just live in Northeast Georgia, and my granddaughter finished her freshman year at Georgia. We're three generation Georgia graduates, but living in Northeast Georgia, so close to Clemson, it's amazing we couldn't get Clemson into the SEC compared to Oklahoma and Texas. And I was just thinking, what is the possibility of bringing FSU and Clemson into the SEC because they're athletic programs mirror many of the ones already in the SEC.
Well, Bob, you are right about that part of it. They are essentially SEC programs. The issue isn't as simple as them wanting to be in. I think both Clemson and FSU would love to be in the SEC. By the way, both had chances years ago. FSU did not want to deal with the competition back 32 years ago when they had the opportunity. But today it would be very complex because they are part of a league and they've signed contracts, and there's contracts run until the mid-30s. And we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars to extricate themselves from those contracts. it's possible, but it's highly unlikely. And besides, I'm not really sure at this point what the SEC would gain by adding Clemson. They're already in the same state with South Carolina and Florida State. Good program, but by no means are they comparable to Texas. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Let's move along and talk to John in Florida. Hello, John.
Paul, thanks for having me on your show again, as always.
Thank you.
And I wanted to get a little more clarification. I got online and looked. I didn't find anything I felt concrete, so I figured I'd call you. With the rule changes coming up, when the ball goes out of bounds and is reset at the line of scrimmage, is it still going to continue to run?
I need to double check on that. I mean, there are a couple of changes made to speed the game up, but I hate to give you a quick answer until I can confirm it.
No, that's all right, because I know that is currently the rule. So I didn't know if it was going to be more like the NFL where you can get the ball out of bounds and stop the clock. So that's something
I'm trying to remember. I'll look it up. There's a specific rule that has changed. It involves the clock will run, I believe, except or in what was that again?
Inside the 2 minutes,
right?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
here it is for those who missed it. The clock will no longer stop after first downs, except during final 2 minutes of each half. In all divisions except three, teams will no longer be allowed to call consecutive timeouts. That's the one I was trying to remember. And penalties at the end of the first and third quarters will be enforced in the next quarter. I hope that answers your question. Thank you very, very much. Let's check in with Alex in Baton Rouge. Alex, you are on the air.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to say, have you seen Texas A&M's schedule so far?
Yes, I have.
Personally, I think if they can, they've been giving Bama a problem since they beat them up. Was it two seasons ago? Yeah, I think it was 2 seasons ago. Bama a problem.
Yeah, it was in 21.
Yeah. So I think if they can get, I think their hardest game on the schedule is possibly the Miami game, because that's. They got to go to Miami, if they can make it.
Well, don't forget. Not only does A&M play at Miami, they play at Tennessee and at LSU. I think A&M is going to be a much improved team, but I think their schedule is downright impossible. Thank you for the call. Mike is up next in Louisiana. Hello, Mike. You're on the air.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I was just going to comment on, I think it was a Dale from Colorado.
Right.
The call. He must have been in a transfer portal here recently, because I think he ended his call with Go Dawgs. But anyway, I was listening a couple of weeks ago. There might have been a little problem with the difference between Natchitoches and Nacogdoches.
Right.
I got a little story about it real quick. Like, husband and wife are driving down from Shreveport to Lafayette, and they get in an argument about it. And, of course, that's on the Louisiana side, and they couldn't handle it. So then they finally pull off to get something to eat, and they walk into a fast food restaurant. And the little gal says, "Can I help you?" And she goes, yeah, but before you say anything, would you help us with something? She said, "I'd be glad to." She said, "What do you call where we are right now?" And she leaned up to him and said, "Burger King."
You know, Northwest State is down there. And when I worked in Shreveport, I had to go down and cover something down there. And I hated covering Northwestern State, because I this was before spell checks. I had no – that was the hardest word I ever tried to spell on deadline. Unfortunately, I didn't have to worry about pronouncing it. I just had to spell it.
It's almost like the names from Thailand. Bless their hearts. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you very much. That's a great story. I appreciate you sharing it. You bet. Take care of yourself. Let's check in with J.H., who is up next.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
Who do you think has the best fan base in the SEC?
Well, I think it's a loaded question because, you know, we're talking about a league that has more passionate fans than anyone else. Where would you land on that?
Well, I got LSU, but I don't know. I have another question.
Okay.
Where do you think Auburn will end up this year?
I think Auburn's looking at maybe a 7-win season if everything holds up. Could go a little better, but the schedule is usually – I think they win their first three games, and then I think the next three go away from them, and it's really a matter of what happens after that. Ole Miss, Mississippi State at home, I think they've got to win those two games, have to beat Vanderbilt on the road, and try to steal one at Arkansas to have a really great season. I don't think that's going to happen. I think 7-4, 7-5, 8-4 is more realistic. Thanks for the call. We continue right after this. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. A number of guests will continue to drop by. We've already talked to David Hale, and we are coming right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and let us continue. Scott is up next. Good afternoon, Scott.
Hey, Paul. I was listening to you call earlier talking about which team had the most rabid fans in the SEC. Do you remember when Charlie Trotman and just lost track of thought. Who did he do Auburn football with back in the 80s?
Jim Fife.
Did you ever hear him tell the story of when they were doing the football game in LSU and the LSU football fans started coming through the broadcast window at him?
I don't remember that one.
And he said Jim Fife started hollering, "Get him, Charlie, get him." and he was talking about how rowdy those LSU fans
I will say this, in what year was it? 2001, I think it was. I personally witnessed, I was down the sideline at the end of the game, and I saw an LSU fan throw a whiskey bottle and hit Tommy Tuberville.
Well, he told that. I think I was watching, you know, how they have the Auburn and Alabama football.
Those things used to happen a lot because there just wasn't there wasn't security built in for that.
Yeah, but he sure told that story, and it was one of the old Auburn LSU games. Said, "Get him, Charlie, get him."
That's a great story. Hey, thank you for calling. How about Newt up next in Kentucky? You're on the air. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Because I watch your show every day.
Thank you for that.
Every day about that and what you do and talk to people and stuff and everything else for different colleges and everything else, what you follow up with. And, you know, I see a lot of people give you bad mouth about stuff or what you say about things. You know, you give opinion about things, and that's the way it is on a talk show and stuff, you know. What do you think about Coach Cal and Oscar's coming back for his last year and stuff for Kentucky basketball?
Yeah, I haven't heard, but I hope he does. I remember last year he considered it, and he came back, and last year ended in a disappointment, but – He's a unique individual, and I think I hope that works out well for him. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much, and thanks for the kind words. Kay is in Little Rock. You're on the air. Hello, Kay.
Hi. I'm a second-time caller. I talked to you about your drama background in high school. I'm the drama teacher.
Oh, yes. Great to talk to you.
Okay, why'd I call? KJ Jefferson? Well, we think he's number one here at Arkansas, and I was really kind of a little bit surprised he came back and he didn't jump in some kind of portal or, you know, something like that.
Well, Kay, I think he made a good decision. Just jumping in the portal does not answer all the. By the way, how long were you involved in drama?
Well, ever since I was a junior in high school, and I'm 63.
Oh, man, you've seen it all.
Most of my life, yeah.
What's the most common reprisal of a play at your school?
Well, I wanted to do the Oldies but Goodies, but they wanted to do Disney. So, yeah.
I don't blame you.
We want the whole school to be able to enjoy it. No, I directed at the largest private school in Arkansas, and K-3 through 12, and everybody has to be able to come. But and of course they build a basketball arena before they'll build a decent stage with pulleys on it. So it gotta keep the athletes coming, though.
No, I understand the drama, but those people don't realize how valuable those will be down the road. Well,
I've had athletes also on stage that also do a good job because they're used to being team players.
Sure.
One more question. Okay, when we bring in Texas and Oklahoma, can't we make them in the West and move those two big bullies, Alabama and Georgia, to the east?
Well, we could do a lot of things, Kay, but we're not going to do any of them for this reason. There are not going to be divisions. It's going to be a 16 team league, and they're still trying to figure out how that works. And that is a very thanks for the call very much. It's still under discussion. We're 2 weeks away from Destin. It begins 2 weeks from today. And the decisions have to be made to play an 8 or 9 game schedule, and then how the schedules will look. And all of that is coming down the pike very, very quickly. Gary is in South Carolina. Hello, Gary.
Hello, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I'm curious. I'm still trying to figure out NIL. Where does the NIL money come from? Is it strictly from private donors, or is it from – can a college use some of its revenue-sharing money to attract players, or how does that work?
No, I think it has to be done independent. And it's a confusing term, but the legal term in the parlance of college sports is a collective, which is a group that finds a legal and equitable way to distribute the money or – however they end up doing it. That's not really where the real money is coming from. As our guest yesterday told us, the real money is coming under the table.
To me, this all sounds like antitrust.
If your
school is not big enough, you know, to recruit, and you're going to get out-recruited strictly because of money, but yet they're supposed to all be amateurs, that doesn't sound right. I mean, I don't know what these minor leagues like ACC and Pac-12 and, you know, some of those schools who maybe don't have as much money or as much revenue sharing, what are they supposed to do, just dry up and go away?
Gary, it's a good question, and I'm not an antitrust lawyer, but it is a complex thing to put together, but at some point someone will. This model will not hold up, but I have a feeling by the time – we get to that point, this system is going to be blown up. What many are concerned about is this, that college athletes end up being declared by the courts employees, and then they'll figure out a way to legally pay them.
Well, that would be more transparent than what's going on.
Oh, what is happening right now is one of the least transparent things, because every good player has a shadow agent. And what is happening now makes the wild, wild west of the 70s and 80s look pretty tame.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
And Gary, the end of this is that the college athletics asked for this. It shouldn't have happened 2 years ago. There should have been some agreement. Congress could still get involved, although it's highly unlikely. That song has been sung now for almost 2 years as well. We will take a break. We have three more hours to go. We hope you'll stick around. We are off and running here on a very busy Tuesday afternoon. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.